My name is Jim Reardon, and I have been a colleague of Bird Valley for 43 years. I first met him in 1961 when I came to Harvard to be a postdoctoral research fellow, and I stayed in his lab until I retired in 2005. My thesis advisor had heard him give a lecture at the Federation meeting, and after he came back, he called me to his office and he said, "This is the guy you should go work for." And I trusted him, and so I sent a letter, and everything fell in place, and that was that. And in the following September, I moved to Boston and joined his lab.
What was it like working in his laboratory?
Even then, early on, the lab was quite big. There were maybe at least 15 people in the lab. The lab was a reconstructed morgue.
Literally?
It was. It had been a morgue. And then it was, because Bert had gotten funds from the Rockefeller Foundation to build a lab. And so he had this new lab built. Well, it wasn't new by the time I got there. It was several years old. But it was very impressive, except that it was it had to be configured to fit into the space that was available. So there were benches all over the place, and you couldn't really see from one to the next. There were pillars and posts and desks sticking out from all those pillars and posts, but you could manage to find your way around the lab and eventually get to know everybody, where everybody was, and it was a very social place. It was very much on a European style, because he was the boss. We called him the Geheimrat. And there were a few people who were senior associates, and then all the rest were postdocs. The other thing about it, I should say, is that the lab was in the Brigham Hospital. And at that time, it was part of the Department of Medicine. But within a year, it became a part of the Department of Biological Chemistry. And that was located across Shattuck Street in the medical school. And so we were physically quite separated from the rest of the biochemistry department. And we were not only just isolated, but we had to be self-sufficient. And there was then no need to really interact with other people elsewhere, either in the medical school, on the quadrangle, or anywhere. It was what we used to call the ivory basement. So when I was a graduate student, I had been involved in a lot of teaching. And so when I came to Bert's lab, I had no teaching responsibilities at all. I was totally relieved. It was a delight. And I worked day and night. And I found out that almost everybody else worked day and night as well.
Was that something about Bert, that people felt the freedom to work that much? They felt compelled to work that much? Or could you describe the way that he ran the lab?
He had an office. The office, it was the smallest office you can imagine. It could hold three people, maybe comfortably, but no more than that. And he stayed in that office most of the time. And he would summon people whenever the mood came to him. He would summon people by just calling them or sending a messenger and say. So he would bring people to the lab, and if he had something that he wanted to discuss with them, that's how it was done. Very occasionally he would make a trip through the lab. So when you were working there, as long as he was in the office, you were out working, you're unaware of his presence. I mean, he was always there, and you knew that it, over your shoulder that somebody could come but most people were free to work, and they were there because they wanted to, and they were there all the time. And it was great.
How would you describe his career at that point in terms of what he was contributing to science, his approach to his scientific work?
He had an overall scientific objective, which was to study the role of metals in biology, particularly zinc. He was the person who did the most to bring zinc into the biochemical community. And he's been called all sorts of things, but among them, the father of metallobiochemistry. So that was his interest. He was interested originally in spectroscopy, and it was more physical biochemistry. But once I got to the lab, I came with two or three other biochemists. All the other were physicians. And once the biochemists got there and started to do things other than spectroscopy and analysis of metals, then his interest changed from what it had been to what I would call more real biochemistry. And it developed with time. But he was very flexible, and he could juggle any number of ideas and areas of research without any problem. In fact, the whole lab worked that way. The way he did it, he would meet once a week with the entire lab. We would have dinner in the Brigham, and then we would have a Thursday night meeting. We would sit around a table and start around 6:30 at night and go until sometimes 10:30, until someone of the postdocs at one point said, if the meeting goes beyond 9, then we have to have beer.
Did Bert mind that?
No, he never mind that, no. He'd buy the beer.
Do you think he was a man of great passion for his work, or great curiosity? Was he pushing boundaries? Are there other descriptions that you would give to the way that he approached his work?
He was a guy who wanted to really succeed and to come up with new ideas, to find things that others hadn't done. And he was very driven to do that. And he wanted to be success, and he appreciated when people rewarded him for his efforts and that. And I think that drove him a lot.
Did he talk to you much as the years went by about the idea of the foundation and setting up programs for visiting professors and such like?
It was a glimmer of an idea. Mm. That slowly evolved and emerged, and it eventually came out as what is now known as the Valley Foundation. But there were occasions he explored other things, like the visiting professor idea. That was the thing that really caught him. He didn't want to have something that was just named after him. And he thought, gee, maybe something short, like a one-month visiting professorship. And we kicked that around for quite a while. And that turned out to be the thing that I think really solidified the whole thing in the end. I think everybody agrees that it was a great idea.
But being there working in the lab, did you see that as something that would be very typical of the way he wanted to work, a visiting professorship, because ideas could be exchanged between one scientist and another?
Bert he cultivated friends in the scientific community from around the world. And he enjoyed traveling to visit these friends. I think almost all of his traveling was to places, to other labs, to visit other scientists. He never went on a place other than Montana, where he would go just to relax and take time off. These scientists that he visited, in turn, would come and visit him. And so there was a tradition from the very first time that I was there that visiting people from all over the world would come and spend a day or two or three. From them, he would get their students to come as postdocs. So there was a long-standing tradition of exchanging of people back and forth. He himself never really went anywhere to do work in somebody else's lab. He visited labs. Many people came, and the students in particular came and worked. So he liked this idea of exchange. There were people from all over the world that were working in the lab.
Did you like that? Was that good for the lab?
Oh, it was terrific, yeah. Because mostly it was people who were expert in the fields that we were working on. And so you could learn from them, you could interact with them, but mostly you got to know them as people, and that was just a lot of fun to know people from all over.
I've heard from various people that Bert Valley was rather an exuberant figure, but you're the person who's worked perhaps the most in the lab on a daily basis with him. So was the exuberance for outside the lab, would you say, was a larger-than-life figure in the laboratory too?
He was. He made his presence well known, particularly at the Thursday night meetings. A very demanding person. And it really came out because at that time there were these annual meetings, biochemistry meetings, and the purpose was to go and to give a 10-minute talk. And at some point, somebody came up with the idea, the meeting organizers, you could get more people there by having poster sessions. So either a 10-minute talk or a poster session was an objective of your work to get there. And Bert wanted that, but it was good publicity. But the effort that went into a 10-minute talk, for instance, first you had to write an abstract, and then you had to submit the abstract, and it had to be accepted. And then, if you're lucky, it was accepted to be a talk. And you would write an abstract, and they would then read the abstract at a Thursday night meeting. And if you could get past the first sentence, you were really lucky. But usually you couldn't. Bert would interrupt you, and he'd say, "No, you can't do that. You got to start it, do it different." He wouldn't write it for you, but it was one of those things. He knew it wasn't right, but you had to do it until it came out right. And sometimes people were writing abstracts up until the last minute of submission. That was only the beginning. Then came, if you had to give it a talk, then came, because a talk was always accompanied with slides. And so each slide, that was painful, really painful. And so you would make a drawing and you would show it. No, that wouldn't work. And it would go through draft after draft after draft. He was really tough on that. And that's when his exuberance, but toughness, really came out. And everybody suffered. It was painful to have to go through the process. And sometimes there were 3, 4, 5, 6 people that were submitting papers, and every one of them had to read their abstracts or show their slides, or finally, he wouldn't let you give a free talk. You had to have it written out. Everything had to be perfect. I think that's one of the things that the people who were in the lab at the time talked about and remembered for as long as I've ever seen them. They still talk about it. At the time, it was generally accepted, universally accepted, that the talks that were given by people from Bert's lab were always perfect, that the slides were always perfect, that people could understand what was being said, and the science was always good. Compared to other people who were talking from other labs where the slides were totally undecipherable. In the end, everybody really appreciated it and felt good about it.
And When the foundation began, was he happy that this was coming into fruition? Did he talk to you about it then? Can you describe a little bit more about those years?
Yeah, I remember the early years when there were meetings prior to the formation of the foundation. So it was a lot of back and forth, a lot of discussions. And he was never willing to nail something down and say, okay, that's it. And he was always hoping for something better. It was like writing an abstract. You know, he had to redraft it every time. But at some point, it materialized. And the idea of a visiting professor caused it all to come together. And then it became this meeting, annual meeting or biannual meeting, and he liked that. I think with enough guidance, he got together an amazing group of people who are involved with that foundation, and they were able to, in the end, to come up with something that he had to accept, you know. It was either that or there wasn't going to be anything, so he did it.
Do you think he'd accept what the foundation is now? Do you think he'd enjoy how it's flourished?
I think if he had been watching this meeting, he would have been delighted. I mean, he would have been so proud because this was, you know, his doing, and it was such a successful meeting. I think he would be quite happy with overall how things worked out. He thought that visiting professorship was a genius idea of his, even though it came out of I don't know how many minds, but he liked it. I don't think he envisioned it to be what it is now. I think it has continued to grow. I think the people who are involved in directing the foundation now have put an awful lot into it, and they want to see it thrive. And they've done a marvelous job of organization and putting things together. It's spectacular. I hadn't been to the last meeting, or maybe even the last two. And so when I came this time and heard all the work that they're doing, the variety of things, I was just stunned and very pleased. And then I heard the talks. It was first class. It's a really, really very, very impressive job.